like to call a meeting of the Higher Education and Career Readiness Policy and Finance Committee to order. We do have a quorum. First order of business is the minutes from March the 22nd. Representative Albright?
So moved.
All right. Any questions or corrections on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Appreciate everybody finding our new room. It's different. But we have a little work to do tonight, and we have some amendments. We also have a few testifiers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have just a few amendments. And we'll start with the A15, if you've got that in your packet. Yeah. Okay. Sean Williams is going to explain it. We do have an oral amendment or a correction on line 1.15. Do you have it? You have the number to put in there, or is that right here? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on line 1.15 of the A15 amendment, we'll delete 2,654,000 and insert 2,564,000. And so, Mr. Chair, this amendment would just adjust the agency administration appropriation back to the base level, because there was a drafting error in the bill.
All right. This is an author's amendment. It's an A15. I think I told you that. Any questions on the amendment? If not, all those in favor of the A15 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is approved. I have another amendment. Chair offers the A08. And Williams, are you going to – have you got that one? Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, the A8 amendment makes some changes to Article 4 of the bill related to the Office of Higher Education Agency Policy. It deletes some definitions of the words compliance audit, higher-level entity, and audited financial statements. It deletes a section requiring degree-granting schools to provide the Office of Higher Education with certain documents. It deletes a change related to surety bonds for programs granting conditional approval for degrees. It removes a requirement that schools subject to the additional surety bond requirements submit data related to tuition and fees. It removes cross-references to a deleted section. And it deletes a section regulating advertising for degree-granting schools.
Question? Hearing none, all those in favor of the A8 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. I now have the A12 amendment. The A12, Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, I think that I mistakenly explained the incorrect amendment previously that we just acted upon. So the amendment I explained was the A16 amendment.
Okay.
So perhaps we should move to reconsider.
Okay. I'll move to reconsider that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
A8.
Now we'll get back on track.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A12 amendment deals with the section related to regionally accredited nonprofit institutions. There's a technical change related to the language about degree programs. It inserts some more specific language related to majors, minors, concentrations, specializations, and areas of emphasis. It adds an exemption from regulations related to modes of delivery, and it removes a requirement that schools update the Office of Higher Education when performing certain actions that they're exempted from, and instead replaces that with an annual notification requirement. So that's the A12 amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Let's double check. Which one was that now? A?
Mr. Chair, that was the A12 amendment.
Okay. Any questions on the A-12 amendment? All those in favor of the A-12 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment is adopted. Okay, I think we need to do the A, or maybe the O-8, the A-8 again. Okay?
Mr. Chair, the A-08 amendment makes a number of technical changes to the Office of Higher Education Agency policy article. It deletes language related to compliance audits on page 48 of the bill, and it removes some duplicative language on pages 50, 53, and 64 of the bill. And I'm happy to explain in more detail if members have questions.
All right. Any questions on the A-8 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The A-8 is now adopted. The A-16 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, so this is the amendment that I explained earlier mistakenly. This is a number of other technical and some policy changes as well to the Office of Higher Education Agency Article 4.
Okay, any questions on this is the A-16, right? Any questions? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the A-16 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted. Okay. We now have the A-13 amendment. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this just cleans up language that's currently in statute. So it excludes instructors of psychology from a clinical licensure requirement. And this was passed in the Senate.
Okay. All right. Any questions of Representative Schultz? The A-13 amendment? Okay, Representative Schultz offers the A-13 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very, very good. And we have one more amendment, but the member is not here right now. So would you care to offer that, Representative Schultz?
Sure. Just.
This would be the A-6 amendment.
So this amendment is from Ilhan Omar, Representative Ilhan Omar's bill. And it requires information to be provided to student parents and pregnant students.
Okay, any questions? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of the A-6 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is also adopted. I think that is. Representative Whalen. Are you going to talk about it or introduce it or with God?
I'd just like to speak to it, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Representative Whalen.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I had an amendment drafted online, and it was up online to meet the deadline that would require the university to obtain approval from an institutional review board or stem cell oversight committee before conducting research on fetal tissue, and a few other requirements would require them to submit a report to the legislature on this, all the research that they are currently doing with fetal tissue as well, among a few other provisions. And I have been in conversations with the university and President Kaler on this. We've been very candid with one another, and while we disagree ideologically on the underlying issue, we do believe there's a way we can get to agreement on the reporting requirements and some of the other pieces, although there are still a few things that we're working on. So at this time, Mr. Chair, after speaking just now actually with President Kaler, I have decided to withdraw the amendments and would like to just state on the record that the relationship with the university is continuing. We're working on it, and I would like to, I'm hoping it will be offered at some point either on the floor or in the conference committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
This is the A4 amendment that you had.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you very much. I think we'll move on to testifiers, and then we can ask questions from the members if they have, as far as the bill is concerned, if that's okay. So first on our list, Stacy Stout. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Chair Nornes, members of the committee, I'm Stacy Stout with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. The chamber represents over 2,300 businesses across the state, and the number one concern we hear from our members is a skilled workforce shortage. So I appreciate the opportunity to testify today in support of the Higher Ed Omnibus Bill. Minnesota's workforce is one of our greatest strengths and a key to our economic success. In order to continue to have the world-class skilled workforce that has been a cornerstone for our competitive business climate, it is necessary to ensure that all Minnesotans are job-ready for the challenges of a global economy. Therefore, we appreciate your support for $26 million in new investments for the state grant program. This important investment fosters innovation, supports college student choice, and targets state funds for the greatest impact. When it comes to Minnesota's higher education budget, only 11% of the state's investment goes directly to students through the Minnesota State Grant Program. Targeting low and middle income families, these grants benefit students attending all of our higher education options. Your investment in the state grant program will help increase the odds that our students stay in Minnesota, earn their degrees on time, and immediately contribute to our state's workforce. Additionally, we support the scholarship program aimed at students enrolled in programs of high employment need in the state, including the areas of agriculture, advanced manufacturing, healthcare services, and information technology. This provision will help ensure students' retention and graduation in these areas. We appreciate the work of this committee, and we're happy to support this legislation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we have Kenneth Eben, is it? Evening. Welcome to Higher Ed.
Thank you.
Identify yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Kenneth Avon, and I'm here on behalf of Students for Education Reform. It's a local nonprofit organization that organizes college students and community members around issues in the K-12 education system, targeting to close the achievement gap. So thank you for the opportunity to testify today. So I am here because for the past few years we have actually championed an issue around remedial education reform or developmental education reform. And our students were a little disappointed to see that that was not reflected in this bill today. And I appreciate the conversation that we're allowed to have. Thank you, Representative Christensen, for championing this bill this year. Thank you, Chair Nornes, for allowing us to have that hearing this year. But again, it was disappointing to not see that language reflected because a lot of students are struggling with the time and money barriers that remedial courses pose, and it prevents students from graduating from college, especially students of color, especially students from low-income backgrounds. And I feel like the urgency of the issue is not matched by the urgency of the language and the need for developmental education reform in the House Omnibus Bill this year. And so I really do ask you to think about this as it goes to the floor, as it goes to the conference committee, around how can we make sure that Minnesota State is providing students with opportunities to graduate without additional college debt, without forcing them to extend their time in college because of developmental education, because our students need it, and we don't want time and money to continue to be a barrier for students, specifically students of color, from graduating from college. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's our goal, try to limit the size of the tuition in any way we can. So thanks a lot. Next, we have Roger Arnson.
Good evening, Mr. Chair.
Good evening.
Members, my name is Roger Arnson. I'm here to speak tonight on behalf of College Possible. We're actually here saying thank you for including Representative Erdahl's bill in here that funds College Possible for 2 years. And we had a very solid hearing in the committee where folks talked about that program, and we appreciate your work and the committee's work and Representative Erdahl's work on this as well. I might note for the committee, also, one of my clients of longstanding are the Secondary School Principals Association as well, and I noticed that you have some very nice funds in here for concurrent enrollment and connected to career and technical, and I might say that there is nothing that makes secondary principals, and particularly rural secondary principals, more pleased than seeing investments in concurrent enrollment. It's doing an awful lot for our kids and a lot to keep our rural schools open, so we really appreciate the support on that level too, Mr. Chair. So very excellent bill here, and you have our complete support, and anything we can do as you move through the process.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I know you've been busy in other committees as well. It's
been a long
earlier today. Yeah.
You too, yes.
All right. Paul Spies. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Paul Spies with the Coalition to Increase Teachers of Color and American Indian Teachers in Minnesota. I'm sorry one of my colleagues with the coalition couldn't be here tonight to join us. But I wanted to just say thank you for including the provisions in House File 1409 that would be teacher candidates of color scholarships. We have an amendment that I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, if that's going to be included here tonight, how that works, but it was submitted earlier.
We'll need to talk about that.
Okay.
We're not prepared right now.
Okay. But we appreciate the work of the committee and the inclusion of this very important provision in the bill, in the omnibus bill. We're sorry that there couldn't be more focus on student teaching, but that's part of the amendment that hopefully we'll carry forward in the process, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for your testimony, too. Thank you for being here tonight. Larry Pogemiller. I should call him Commissioner Pogemiller. Or is it President Pogemiller by now?
I hand out those to him.
Oh, sure, yeah. Welcome, Commissioner.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Thank you for allowing me to make a few comments on behalf of the governor. There will be a detailed letter that we'll put together to provide by the time you get the full to Ways and Means, I think you have in the House. First, Mr. Chairman, members, I wanted to just reiterate, as I have often in front of your committee, it is just such a pleasure to work with your staff, both the partisan and nonpartisan staff. They are easy to work with, and it really makes for our staff a more pleasurable experience. So we really appreciate it, and thank you so much.
It's the chair you have trouble with, right?
Pardon? No, Mr. Chair. I was going to say something nice about you, too. But the members have also, for me personally, the members have been very gracious this year. I think I've met with every member privately, and everybody's been great, and it seems like you got a pretty good group of members here, Mr. Chairman.
Happy with them.
You're happy with them?
Yes, I am.
Good. So let me start by mentioning that we really appreciate that you've included all the policy items that our office had recommended, nothing very controversial there, and we really appreciate that. I believe it's Article 3. Having said that, I wanted to point out the governor's position this year on policy in the budget bills, and I've having passed out the letter from the governor from March 13th to the House and Senate leadership that he strongly opposes policy language not related to the budget being in the budget bill. And I think his thinking is, I know what his thinking is, he just thinks that language not related to the budget creates impasses and roadblocks to consummating the omnibus conference committee. So I just pass along this letter. I don't know if the leadership passed along to the individual chairs or not. This is only page 3 of the letter, but this is the part that relates to policy unrelated to the budget. And he respectfully asks if you would send it as a separate policy bill or as separate bills.
Yes.
So.
Well, he can ask.
I will pass that along to him, Mr. Chairman. There is some strong language in here, though. So with regards to your bill, to this bill, as members know, the governor has a $318 million investment in post-secondary education. This bill is at $150 million, which is about 47% of the governor's rec, about half of his rec. That's Mr. Chairman, good job in terms of agitating within your own leadership. Thank you for that, because I know for you this is a fairly sizable bill. And so just wanted to point out that the governor thinks you have more work. He would like you to work some more on it and get more into your bill. With regards to the MnState sections, appreciation for the recognition that they need investment in an integrated statewide record system. It's not at the funding level they and the governor recommended, but you have shown recognition that that's necessary for them. And this bill is about $56 million less for MnState than the governor has. The University of Minnesota absolutely appreciate, the governor appreciates the funding for the health training restoration. I think that's fully funded in your bill. And the investment in the MnDrive research, not as large as the governor's, but still a recognition that that makes a lot of sense, the research function at the U. Overall, the University of Minnesota is $74 million less than the governor. With regards to the state grant, very sizable investment, very much appreciated. Just to point out that it is still $36 million less than the governor would like to put in need-based aid. But this is a sizable investment from the Minnesota House and very much appreciated. Specifically, you put additional, even more money than the governor in the summer academic enrichment program, and I think the governor would be very supportive of that. It's a very quality program to help students transition to post-secondary education, and you have actually a larger recommendation than the governor had, and I think he would be very supportive of that. Want to reiterate, you've got some movement on teachers of color in your bill, and again, not as significant as the governor had requested, but I think the recognition that you think work needs to be done there is very well appreciated by the governor. Appreciate that you did not make a cut in administration and our office. I know that in other budget areas of the budget there will be cuts administratively, and I just wanted to express appreciation for that.
It wasn't by chance. We thought about that a lot.
Mr. Chairman, I very much appreciate it, because I know there's a lot of pressure within the legislature to reduce administrative spending. We have to express concern, though, that without additional money, we won't be able to deal with cybersecurity and IT infrastructure, and we have hundreds of thousands of student records, both financial and otherwise, within our data systems that are from about, I keep getting the number wrong, 1978 or 88. I forget either. I think it's maybe 88, 1988 vintage systems. That
you're talking about your office?
Yes, just our systems.
I think it's the same system Minnesota State has, isn't it?
Portions of it, but they have
I know they're separate, but
yeah.
About the same age is what I'm saying.
But some of the information, and I think this is part of a larger governor's effort to talk about cybersecurity and the IT infrastructure throughout all the budgets, so my guess is that will be a larger discussion than just your conference committee. We want to express some concern with all the you're creating some new grant programs and stuff. We would hope you'd have some consideration if those do move forward to the cost of administrating those programs, because we obviously, if they do become law, would want to administer them in a way that's successful from your point of view. And then finally, with just flat administrative funding for our office, it likely is to result in 1 to 3 reductions in full-time equivalent, and that's because of retirements and just general compensation increases over the last few years. So I just wanted to point that out, but again, I'm not overly whining. I'm just pointing out that even at flat funding, there are likely to be some reductions. On a personal level, I want to point out the Lieutenant Governor is disappointed that you did not find room for a sexual assault prevention coordinator at the statewide level. This is a need that's mostly on the smaller campuses around the state, where they could use some help in terms of professional development and so forth. Mr. Chairman, I would leave it at that. Oh, there is one. Even though the governor doesn't want policy in here, I do want to point out, because we have been working with your staff on the fraud language that you have introduced a bill regard to, and we forwarded to your staff that upon reflection, the governor would prefer not to change the language at all. His concern is that by giving discretion to the commissioner to not, after finding a fraud, to have some discretion there, the governor thinks will lead to more litigation. And so that's his basic thinking. I should also pass along that the Attorney General's office has contacted us, and she is not supportive of changing the language. Mr. Chairman, I think I'd leave it at that. And again, I wanted to reiterate, our staff is so happy to work with your staff. Easy to work with, fun to work with. Right. Thank you so much.
Wait till I hear the questions from my committee. No, I'm just kidding. are there questions for the commissioner?
Thanks, not. Thank you.
Got the night off.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Laura King. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for the opportunity to say a few words. First, let me start by just thanking the committee for all the time you've given us to listen to our proposal, to listen to the needs of our faculty and staff and students, and to give careful thought to the challenges that we face. Thank you as well to the staff. The staff on this committee is terrific. They're available and they're willing to help us address issues. I'm told the committee administrator particularly is very patient, so thank you for that. We're very grateful. This process puts us all close together, and it's nice to have a nice working group. Let me, if I might, just take a second to remind us of the proposal that we brought to you. It really had three broad themes: protecting programs and services in communities across the state, reducing economic and racial disparities by protecting affordability, access, and advancing student success, and providing faculty and staff the IT infrastructure needed to serve students and deliver programs. You heard us testify about the extraordinary disinvestment that's taken place in higher education in Minnesota in the last 20 years. Compared to national trends, the investment in Minnesota in the colleges is down 25%, and the investment in the regional universities is down 24%. We certainly appreciate that you have made Minnesota State a priority in your targets, and we're very grateful for that, but we would observe that it's still at half of what we requested, and it's complicated with the presence of tuition freezes at both the colleges and the universities in the second year, and a follow-on 1% reduction in tuition for the colleges in the second year. If this bill becomes law, we really need to recognize that our campuses will have very substantial financial pressure. They'll have insufficient revenue to cover costs that they have little control over. We've no doubt that you've heard and that you understand who we are and who we serve and the importance of the work that we do for the state and our communities across the state. If I might offer just a few other comments on some sections of the bill. Regarding the Residential Disabilities Services Program, we really appreciate the time and attention you gave to recognize the programs that we have at Ridgewater and Central Lakes College. We serve over 9,000 disabled students across the state, and the staff at those programs particularly were really heartened to hear the recognition of the good work that they do. I would like, though, to offer you a note of caution. At the present time, we don't have any universities that are interested in expanding to a residential program for this activity. We've talked with all the universities and find that there just isn't the interest. As the bill stands now, we'd be in a position of mandating this program, which isn't our general practice. Know that we hope to keep working with you and that we hope to find a good path for this program as we move through the remainder of the session. Regarding the language prohibiting mandatory fees, this is troubling language for it. It would be a significant issue on our campuses. To stop and start programs every year on the basis of an annual student voting process would be tremendously disruptive. One example that I would hope to resolve before the session concludes is we sell bonds through the revenue fund for the state university student unions. Those bonds are retired with a student fee. And so I would need to understand what the implications are for that complication. We have programs across the state that are impacted by this language. We know that we'll continue to work with you in the days ahead and that you have our commitment as well to work toward resolution and we're appreciative of the time and support that the committee has shown us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. King? We will discuss this much further as
we
go down the road. Thank you very much. Next, I have Paul, and Paul, you know who you are. I just don't know how to pronounce your last name. Kaylee whispered in my ear, but it's still, I'm a Norwegian, and it still comes hard. So go ahead and tell us your last name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Paul Sirk-Fennick, President of the Minnesota Private College Council.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Chair Nornitz, thank you for the opportunity to testify on your bill, and I want to say to you and all members, thank you for the opportunity to work with you as this bill was put together and your staff. We're grateful for the long history of bipartisan support that this committee has given to the Minnesota State Grant Program, and we're grateful that State Grant Program funding is a priority in this bill. We are particularly supportive of the bill's efforts to use the additional state grant funding to reduce the family share element of the state grant program formula. The expected family contributions under the state grant formula have grown increasingly unrealistic for most Minnesota families, lower-income families and middle-income families. The changes in this bill will increase grants by making the family expected contributions a little more realistic for most families. While we haven't seen any projections yet on the particular effects of this bill, we believe the changes will not only increase grants, but also make between 5,000 and 10,000 more families eligible for the program, and that's a great improvement. Students from low and middle-income families face significant cost barriers, as you all know, to completing a post-secondary education. This bill helps close those financial gaps, but even with this bill, with this additional funding, lower and middle-income families and students will still face significant financial challenges. We know this is just the start of the legislative budget setting process, and we're hopeful that as the process moves forward, there will be an opportunity for a higher level of investment in higher education overall, and that the state grant program funding will continue to be a priority for all of you. I want to say we also appreciate the language in the bill that clarifies and reduces the regulatory burden on our nonprofit colleges in the annual registration process through the Office of Higher Education. And finally, we're supportive of the language you just adopted that clarifies the psychology licensing law by expressly exempting faculty members who teach and conduct research from the requirement to be licensed under the Practice of Psychology Act. Thank you for the investments you're making directly in students for the state grant program, and we look forward to continuing to work with you.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the testifier?
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie Tonneson. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Julie Tonneson. I'm the budget director at the University of Minnesota. We understand at the university that this is the beginning of the process for finalizing the appropriation bills, and we look forward to partnering with you to get to the finish line. We also want to concur with others who have taken the time this evening to thank the staff. We think they are great to work with. And look forward to working with them as we go forward. We also want to thank you very much for what you have included in the bill. We appreciate your engagement around our needs for healthcare training and the benefits of investing in NRRI. The addition for MnDrive is also very much appreciated, and we will work to determine the best use for those funds across the four initiatives we proposed. A high priority for the university for the next 2 years is to avoid substantial increases in tuition rates for resident students. So our main concern centers around support for our core mission and student success initiatives and how the lack of support in those areas in the bill puts upward pressure on tuition. We have real cost increases, as any organization does, for debt service, utilities, equipment, health care, public safety, security, and so forth. And we feel it is critical to provide a modest salary increase for our employees. We are a people place. It is our people that is the resource that makes the university what it is. We will continue to take responsibility for reducing costs and improving efficiency by internally reallocating dollars from lower priority uses to address these cost increases in investments, but we cannot cover everything through that mechanism, and we will need additional revenues through tuition increases and or increased state investment. Aside from the requested initiatives, we have concerns about two of the policy components of the bill. We appreciate support for students in all its forms, but we respectfully disagree on the benefits of the language that removes our ability to continue our student process to implement mandatory student services fees. Based on what we understand would be impacted by the loss of this revenue, things like organizations we don't often hear about, but organizations like Go First, which is an organization that participates in robotics competitions, or CoLab, a student-led incubator dedicated to taking businesses and ideas to the next level, or even the Student Veterans Association. Loss of revenue for those types of organizations will result in a change for many students. It puts the university in the difficult position of deciding which experiences and opportunities are key for a student life that is on par with other schools and should be considered with all the other priorities we look at in the budget process, again, putting upward pressure perhaps on tuition. Finally, we have concerns with the automatic admission portion of the bill. The university does use today a holistic review for admissions. So that includes a review of the GPA, the class rank, if it's available, things like leadership experience, outstanding talent or achievement, trends in academic performance, first-generation college student status, and so forth. We do this because it's widely understood as a fair way to review applications and a better predictor of success. And on a more practical level today, as I understand it, 40 to 45% of high schools will not report class rank to us. And of those that do, through our holistic review, the university is already admitting 97% of those that are reported as being in the top 10%. So finally, Mr. Chair, members, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share our initial reactions to the bill, and we look forward to working with you further as it moves through the process.
All right. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thanks.
That's the list I have for testifiers. Is there anyone else who would like to testify? If there is, don't all come at once, but two at a time is fine, or even three.
Good evening, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Welcome. Good evening.
Thank you. My name is Caroline Palmer. I'm the Public and Legal Affairs Manager at the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault. And I just wanted to come before the committee and first thank you for all of your hard work. And also thank you for the opportunity we had about a month and a half ago to come and testify in front of the committee to talk about the need for a sexual assault prevention coordinator in the Office of Higher Education. We were disappointed to see that it wasn't included. We hope maybe that the committee will reconsider. We have, as you know, seen a great uptick in visibility for campus sexual assault. We've had a number of big cases in recent months in our state. Our office is fielding questions all the time, really literally many, many times during the week about conflicts between state and federal law. And we are really hoping to see some guidance and leadership on the state level in the Office of Higher Education. They've been extremely supportive to our work, and we really enjoy working with them. But we would love to see somebody in a state-level position to help provide some guidance in the work that's going on in the state with sexual assault on campuses. And again, we appreciate how hard your work here is in the committee, but we hope you will reconsider adding that position into the budget.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Who's the leader? You are. Okay. Please identify yourself and then
yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. You've seen me before. Thank you. My name is Violeta Hernandez Espinosa, and I'm the Education Legislative Liaison for the Minnesota Council on Latino Affairs. Before I read a joint statement from the three ethnic councils and the Indian Affairs Council, I would like my colleagues to introduce themselves first.
All right, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Chair. My name is Chu Zhang. I'm with the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans, and I'm the Legislative Liaison.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kade Wallace, and I'm the Legislative Liaison for the Council for Minnesotans of African Heritage.
Okay, welcome to all of you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, again, also part of this joint statement is the Indian Affairs Council, who couldn't have a representative today, but they are a part of the statement. As state agencies, I'd like to remind you, we are charged with advising and informing you state lawmakers on issues and related legislation that more directly impact our respective communities. Communities which collectively represent 19% of the state's population and 31% of the state's student body. 2 weeks ago, we were here advocating for programs that seek to address the severe shortage of teachers of color and American Indian teachers in Minnesota, and the enduring achievement gaps, which place Minnesota in the lowest levels of student achievement in the nation by various indicators for communities of color and American Indian communities. These two interrelated aforementioned issues are the top priority in education for all of our councils. Research has shown that teachers of color can improve standardized test scores, attendance, retention, advanced level course enrollment, graduation rates, and college going rates for students of color in particular. In analyzing House File 1222, we are heartened to see that the teacher shortage from underrepresented groups received a place in your committee's priorities, showing a clear commitment from you, Chair Nornes, and members to addressing these two issues. We understand the difficulty of meeting budget targets, but as further appropriations and programs are discussed in the upcoming conference committees, we look forward to meeting with committee members and Chair to answer any questions on matters related to these two issues. Thank you, everyone, for the work, and thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Thank you for offering your testimony. Anyone else in the audience who would like to speak? Come on down.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Committee members, you may not recognize me. I look a little different. My name is Matthew Roderick.
You got a haircut.
I did have a haircut, surprisingly so.
You look good. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, on behalf of the more than 100,000 folks in the state of Minnesota who suffer from paralysis and injuries from traumatic brain injury and spinal cord injury, we wanted to thank you and the committee for the additional monies to the SCI-TBI Research Grant Program. We're grateful for that. I'm here with my partner, Rob, from Get Up, Stand Up to Cure Paralysis. There is an opportunity already. We have, as you've heard from us, I think this session, maybe not so much from me, but we've already accomplished a great deal with the little bit of money that you provided 2 years ago. And there are now three clinical trials operating as we speak. One of them just opened at the University of Minnesota Hennepin County Medical Center. So we are excited about the ability to build on the success that we have had. I think you probably noticed that the Senate allotted a couple of million dollars more. Obviously, we hope that there is more because we hope to build on the progress that we have made already. Clinical trials are popping up all over the country. We're excited that they're now happening here on the cutting edge of this neuroscience research. So I want to appreciate that. Commissioner Pogemiller, thank you for the hospitality of the Office of Higher Education. It's been great working with your office as well. So just wanted to say thank you.
I've been told that that money, that's kind of seed money, has actually, there's been other funds that have come in to help with the research. Is that accurate?
Yes, actually. In one of the clinical trials, which is with epidural stimulation, which I mentioned out of Hennepin County Medical Center and the University of Minnesota, the initial $125,000 grant was by our efforts in the community and also by the institutions themselves. We're able to leverage that into about $750,000 in additional, both from donated devices from industry and also the waiving of institutional fees and services. In addition, through our efforts in the community, We have connected that researcher with the Ontario Neurotrauma Fund, and they have submitted a $5.1 million grant request to bring that trial to Toronto and also expand it here, because they're very excited about that. And now that researcher is working with another researcher in collaboration from British Columbia and Vancouver, who will be working alongside. So that has grown immensely. So we're pretty excited about that.
All right. Very good. And thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, anyone else? Now, you have some kind of an award. You've been at quite a few of our committee hearings, haven't you?
Yeah, over the last 4 years. hello, my name is Will Dahman, a student at the University of Minnesota. I've gotten the chance to know a lot of you guys all pretty well. Today, I'm here to talk about the student service fees part of the bill in front of us. Before I get to that, though, I wanted to say that I was talking to my mom before I came here today, and she asked if I would be spending Easter with my capital family instead of my real family, since I'm here so often. I assured her that wouldn't be happening. but yeah, so first I would like to speak on the language on student service fees in the bill. While I applaud Representative Christensen for his efforts tackling college affordability, I really do. I believe this language could cause unintentional consequences. The fees covered under this language likely would target student groups on our campus. Of the $400-plus dollars that I pay each semester in mandatory fees, only 4% of that goes towards student groups, which comes out to roughly $18 a semester. While $18 is a starting point in making college more affordable, I think that its consequences could push some of the students suffering the most from college debt out of student groups that they gain so much from. If you look at some of the cultural centers that we have, these groups wouldn't be funded with this language. If you look at, I'm in the student government on campus, I do receive a stipend, but for the amount of hours that I put in here and on campus, it comes out to cents on the dollar for how much I get paid per hour. The opportunity costs here, you know, I actually came today from my other job that I work part-time during the school year, where I make a lot more money than I do in student government. But this is so important to me. It's been an important part of my time at the university. It's given me the opportunity to be here. I know that you all oftentimes cite how great it is to see students at the Capitol in talking about what is going on at the university, and frankly, you know, it wouldn't be possible if I didn't receive some sort of compensation for the time that I do spend here. So I just really wanted to point that out. You know, especially with the tuition that we already pay. I mean, $18 a semester is, you know, it seems like such a small amount for the benefit that we do gain from it. I mean, people find a home in the groups that they're in. They find a niche, they find a career sometimes. So I do want to thank you all for the support that you do give the university. I think a lot of times when talking with students, I have to specify that no additional funding doesn't mean that the university isn't being funded by the legislature. There's a lot of money that does come into the university. So I think, and then the last thing I want to talk about was this language does pass, I would predict that some of these costs, you know, we wouldn't want to get rid of student groups, so it would be put into tuition dollars, which removes the student voice in the process then. So not only will we probably still be paying the fees, but we won't even get a say. There's a process for students that do think that we have too many fees. They can join the committee. They can raise their voice. They can make a decision there. So, again, I want to thank you for your support. And I hope to keep working with you this session.
All right. We'll keep your comments, you know, as we go forward.
Thank you.
Question, you've been here 4 years, you said?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
Are you going to graduate now?
Yeah, I graduate in May.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I have a job too, so.
That's the goal. So then what happens? Are you coming back? You're going to replace one of us or what?
I don't think so,
okay,
but maybe.
Right. Yeah, but you represent students very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any questions, Representative Lee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to let the testifier know, none of us will be here on Easter, so it might be kind of lonely, so you might be better off with your family.
You're safe to go home.
My apologies.
Representative Schultz.
I just want to thank the students and yourself for testifying as a faculty member at the University of Minnesota Duluth. I know that students can waive the student fees and petition for that waiver, and I missed the discussion because I was in D.C. Fighting for federal funds for the state of Minnesota for a variety of projects, so I apologize for not being here during that debate. I'm really concerned because our student groups do so many wonderful community activities, and it really rounds out their education to be involved with those student organizations. So I hope you guys can keep sending us emails and letters and letting us know your preferences, because it really does matter.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much for being here. Any other folks in the audience? All right. Any other comments from the committee before we were getting close to a vote here? It's only 6:30. Before we do that vote, I would like to again thank our committee. You've heard a lot about people telling how the staff and everyone here works well with everyone. And I say the same about the committee, all the members. It's been a pleasure to chair this committee again this year. And the lead Democrat has been outstanding to run his side of the committee room, and it's been really a pleasure. I mean that. And so we thank you. I'm not sure if we have any other reason to meet, but Representative Pawlowski, if you have an idea.
Now, Mr. Chair, I want to thank you, but I also want to raise some concerns. There is a significant difference between the House and Senate targets this session, $50 million, give or take. And this time the Senate is lower. Taking a look at this bill and the way this bill is crafted, if you have to take tens of millions of dollars out of this bill going down to the Senate target, you can see already there are tuition increases in this bill. We've seen the university say there will be tuition increases. It is likely there will be tuition increases with the Minn State, certainly in the 4 years. And it could be that there would be other increases with the mandates in the bill. The mandates in this bill are interesting because if the mandates stand, there would be then unintended increases in costs to students and campuses to make sure certain programs and student activities are maintained. So there are real issues in this bill as you move forward with the Senate, not the least of which is negotiating a target that would keep, I think, two things that we've talked about repetitively over the last 4 years. The high cost of tuition and the ongoing record debt that is straddling a generation with an inability to do things that we once accepted as commonplace. For instance, have a family, buy a house, move to a place where you want to move to instead of where you have to move in order to pay off the debt. So, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the work you've done, but there are major concerns in this bill, and the concerns will continue if the negotiations move down toward that Senate target, and then there would be significant concerns with tuition and debt.
Well, I can assure you as much as I can that we will be holding as firm as we can to our target. And the other line, we're going to be tough negotiators. I may not look tough, but I can be. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity. Once we get it through Ways and Means, once we get it off the House floor, then we can do that. But we got a couple of hurdles before that. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe you should bring Representative Pawlowski with you. I don't know. He seems to be good at negotiating, and I appreciate you chairing this committee and the bill. I just want to make a few points. I just calculated a few numbers. The O&M funding for the University of Minnesota is not even keeping up with inflation at 2%. and it's less O&M funding for operations and management than what we gave them in 2001, unadjusted for inflation. So I'm just really concerned that we're not putting enough state funds forward to MNSCU and the University of Minnesota to account for inflation, and that will force them to keep increasing tuition and hurting students, as Representative Plowski has outlined. So I just want to make the public aware that we're really underfunding our institutions of higher education in the state.
All right. Any other members with comments? Oh, Representative Whelan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to speak to the point regarding state legislators and tuition, specifically at the University of Minnesota. I know we've talked about it briefly before in committee, and just the narrative that the increase in tuitions across the nation is due to a lack of state funding, I think is a poor representation of what's actually going on. It may be a piece of it, but the bigger piece of it is the federal grants and loans, I believe, that have caused a false market for tuition, and so universities increase tuition costs due to the availability of those loans and grants, which actually has a bigger impact upon the fact that tuition is increasing, not necessarily that state legislatures across the nation are, quote, not funding. That's not quite the entire story, and I just want to make sure that is stated for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If there are no other comments, then I renew the motion that House File 2477 be re-referred to the House of the Ways and Means Committee. As amended. As amended. Several times. Yes. Oh, we have. Okay. We haven't done that yet. Okay. We're going to learn how to do this. Where are we at? Where we are. It's the DE. What's the bill number?
Mr. Chair, it's the A170264 DE amendment.
Okay. All right. Then we move the A170264?
As amended.
As amended. Okay. So we're going to vote on that now. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All right. That is adopted. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now we'll go back to what I was originally going to do, out of order. I renew the motion that House File 2477 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's on its way. Now, any other business that we need to take care of here? Seeing none. Again, I want to thank everyone for being very cooperative, and have a good rest of the session, and we'll see you. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.
Oh, there you go. But they just worked hard for that.
It's been bad in the last couple of weeks. Oh, nope. Thank you.